A few weeks ago, I sang the national anthem at the pep rally, and when they announced that I was going to do it, there was kind of an audible gasp in the people in the stands there, which I was surprised me because I thought people knew that I am a singer and did a lot of that in seminary days. And after the pep rally was over, a man came up to me and said, "Father, I think you missed your vocation," which I think he was trying to give me a compliment, but I think I made my vocation right. I think the Lord wants me to be a priest, and certainly nothing wrong with being a singing priest as well. The last few Sundays have had some hard gospels, and today we have a little bit of a respite from that. It's an oasis of restoration in the scriptures. We heard the psalmist say, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert." And we're probably all feeling like a desert around here without rain. The kids were playing behind the football field at the homecoming game, and there was just a dust cloud that was coming up. And I think Thursday we might have a good chance of some rains. And the waters, the torrents in the southern desert are a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the water, the fountain, the wellspring of life that Jesus talked about. Springs of living water shall flow from within. And so it is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And our scripture readings talk about blindness today as well and restoration of sight. And we often speak of spiritual sight as well, the eyes of faith. And certainly we need faith in our Lord and in the sacraments that he has given to us, and confirmation as the fulfillment of our baptism, which water was used at our baptism. But we can still have spiritual blindness as well. And this is a story of Belén Perales, who is 60 years old now in Spain. And she was born into a Catholic family, the oldest of four children. And she said that she always felt like nobody loved her. And she had this sense of abandonment deep in her heart. And the family had to move around for her father's work, so it kind of increased that sense of no rootedness, although it helped her to be adaptable. And she was sent to a boarding school, and at the age of 13, she was abused. And understandably, she was angry, but she took it out on God and started to refuse to believe in God himself. And so for the next 35 years, she lived as an atheist. And then she was searching for peace and relationships, had four failed marriages and three children that whom she did love, these children. And then in 1996, as the online businesses were just taking off, she was able to be very successful in doing that. So in the year 2012, fast forward, number of years forward, she and her daughters were on a trip to Rome, and she wanted to go see the Colosseum, but one of her daughters really wanted to go to the Vatican. So she gave in to the daughter, and when she got into St. Peter's Basilica, Belén said, "How terrible. What are we doing here? How horrible is this place?" But then she felt something. She said it was a physical sensation. She realized in her heart that God exists and that in the state she was in, she was going to hell. And so they quickly got into some pews in front of the tomb of John Paul II. We just celebrated his anniversary, October 22nd. And there, just copious tears were pouring down on her face, and her daughter was pulling out tissue and trying to dry her mother's face. And Belén had a beautiful experience of the power of God. She was 48 years old. She hadn't prayed since she was 13. Couldn't even remember the Our Father prayer. Went back to Madrid, Spain, and she had a long road. For the next year, she went to Mass, but she didn't go to confession and wouldn't go to communion, of course. And she was just she just felt like God couldn't forgive her, and that if everybody knew her sins, that they'd kick her out of the church. And finally, she experienced God speaking in her heart, saying, "What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?" So she immediately got up, went to confession, and back to Holy Communion. and her grace was restored within her. The priest said at the confessional, "Hallelujah, all of heaven is rejoicing with you today." So she felt like it was a true homecoming. And now she's evangelizing on YouTube. She does a rosary at 11 p.m. at night. Spaniards always stay up late, eat late, and then stay up late. And she does a rosary at 11 p.m., and then she interviews people about their conversion stories and has caused a lot of people to convert because of that. But she said, "My wounds have been healed by adoration and the sacraments. Jesus came to me when I least expected it, and he is always there waiting for us." And so that is a beautiful, true story of restoration in the sacraments and in the power of God's love. I was driving the other day to Prairie Row in the morning, and there was patches of fog. And I thought, that's a good sign of the spiritual life. Sometimes we're in that fog because of the things going on within us or outside of us, around us. And then there was patches where it was totally clear. And then all of a sudden, the grace of the Lord overcomes us and we're able to see more clearly. And in our readings today, we hear about that blindness and God's restoration of sight. Jeremiah was given the duty of preaching to the people about the destruction of Jerusalem. And God told him, they're not going to believe you, but you still have to do it. And so he did that faithfully. And almost every chapter of his book is about that, the book of the prophet Jeremiah. But there are four chapters in the middle called the Book of Consolation. And that's what we read from today, chapter 31. And that's where he predicts after the destruction of Jerusalem, there will be a restoration. And indeed, for 70 years, they were in Babylon in captivity. And then they were restored. That was our responsorial psalm today. When you restored the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming when we came back. And it uses that word restoration in one of the other translations. And so Jeremiah is the only one in the Old Testament, only place in the Old Testament, that uses the word new covenant. There's going to be a new covenant. A covenant is a family bond-making institution. And God is making this covenant universal, Catholic, all around the whole world. And you hear those words over the chalice at Mass. The new and eternal covenant. This is the fulfillment. The death and resurrection of our Lord is the fulfillment of his prophecy so many 500, 600 years before it actually took place. And we get to witness it every time. He even predicted that the 10 tribes of the north were going to be restored, which was done through the 12 apostles representing the 12 tribes of Israel. In the gospel today, Bartimaeus is physically blind, but he has spiritual faith. He believes in Jesus as the Messiah, and that's why he cries out to him. But the crowd is trying to shut him up. And so they have physical sight, but they don't have the spiritual sight. They don't believe in Jesus. And they don't see the worthiness of this man blind in front of them. And so Jesus heals him and shows the great dignity that he has. Louisiana Right to Life has a gala in January, and they're inviting a guest speaker, and his name is Nick Vujicic, and he was born without arms and without legs. And he travels around the world giving inspirational talks about the dignity of human life, even without limbs, that every life is worth living, no matter what the situation is, the power of that. And Pope Francis on Thursday penned his encyclical about really the restoration of the whole world around the truth, around Jesus Christ, the Sacred Heart of our Lord. So on the octave of the Feast of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who's in the mosaic there, he penned this, publicized this encyclical entitled Dixit Nos. He loved us, from Romans chapter 8. He loved us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God except ourselves. We're the only ones that can do that. Nothing exterior can do it. And devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is devotion to the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said he is the synthesis of the gospel and of all reality, this devotion of the Sacred Heart. It can restore the world. I'll conclude with just that one of the concluding paragraphs that Pope Francis wrote. He said, "The church also needs that love lest the love of Christ be replaced with outdated structures and concerns, excessive attachment to our own ideas and opinions, and fanaticism in any number of forms, which end up taking the place of the gratuitous love of God that liberates, enlivens, brings joy to the heart, and builds communities. He said the wounded side of Christ continues to pour forth that stream which is never exhausted, never passes away, but offers itself time and time again to all those who wish to love as he did. For his love alone can bring about a new humanity. Belen, Bartimaeus, Nick, and all of us have experienced that in one way or another, that restoration. Right here we see it at the sacrifice of Jesus when he says, I love you this much. And he puts his arms on the cross for us, that one eternal sacrifice. So let us be restored and go forth out of these doors to restore the world. Amen. Please remain seated.